Hello everyone, my name is Hu Xin. Today my topic is the challenges Tomcat faces in high throughput production systems. First, let me introduce myself first. Let me know my name in Chinese. Hu Xin Jiang, and currently I'm a software engineer in Alibaba Middleware Group since 2014. And I have previously worked for a Japanese company called DNA, and I am up at Tomcat Computer since 2016. And Chris just said that on Monday I'm a PMC member in that series. I don't know, just kidding. Okay. Right now I'm a core Tomcat maintainer in Alibaba. We actually maintain an internal branch with some features, which I will be address some of that. Today my topic, two parts. One, number one, how we use Tomcat at Alibaba. Number two, the high throughput system, the high throughput web application, and the challenge we face. And as well, we'll go through some case studies. And then we have summary and QA section. Part one. Tomcat is first used in Alibaba around in 2009. At that time, I didn't join this company. I just heard from my colleagues. And at that time, most of the web content are JBoss. However, as the time goes, we found that it's, most of the JBoss features are not used. We want to stick some containers that is more lightweight. So we've just trying to find something lightweight, for example Tomcat or Jetty. But why we choose Tomcat over Jetty? Because Tomcat use JBoss use the Tomcat as a default server container, and it makes us easier to migrate from JBoss to Tomcat, and this makes us to start a migration from the 2013. And for 2 years, I think most of the web application has finished migration, and the Tomcat has become the dominant server container in 2015, which includes thousands of web applications inside Alibaba, and there are actually hundreds of thousands of instances there. And for the current status, 95% Tomcat and 5% for legacy systems, and many of them are actually running Tomcat 7 because Tomcat 7 is for the JDK 6, and some of our web applications still running JDK 6, and they are currently migrating from JDK 6 to JDK 8, so we have to support that. So few are Tomcat 8, and they are emerging Tomcat 5 because of microservices such as Spring Boot. And we also have a set up deployment standards inside Alibaba. That the primary rule is that we run one web application in one Tomcat instance, because that makes developers easy to maintain their web applications. We have a standard configuration that we have, including a default Tomcat configuration as well as a startup script, which is a wrapper of Catalina.sh with some additional features that I will introduce later. And for each web application, we have specific configurations, including Tomcat, JVM aux, and startup hooks, and healthy checks. And at runtime, Tomcat application specific configuration will override the standard configuration. And we also have an internal deployment platform which manages to deploy the application, the WAR file to that specified the machine. Actually, there is an agent running in that machine and will communicate with that agent. And for some script features, we have per startup log rotation for Catalina.out, because some of our web applications that don't have the logs set up very well, they actually log some logs to the SCD out, And as the time goes by, Tomcat's SDDL will get very large. So actually, we also have a autofix for this JVM arc. If you specify, for example, a heap, which is larger than the operating system can afford, that script will automatically fix that for you. Actually, we also have some, for example, Catalina base. For each Tomcat stop, we'll clean up the Catalina base for that. Because if someone get logged into that machine and do some modification, we don't want that to be persistent. You must use the specific standard configurations. For monitoring, we have actually built a Tomcat monitor, which provides the RESTful service for something like Matrix. We have JVM, Tomcat, middleware, and we have a class loading feature which can locate which JAR file the class is loading from. And we have also provide the per thread CPU usage and thread status, and Tomcat thread pool statistics. Most of them are actually grabbed from the JMX, but for our experience, actually JMX is complicated to you need to write some code to that. So we actually build a wrapper of that, and as well as some additional features, and you can just use HTTP to get these statistics. For the diagnostics. On the production environment, actually we use a tool called Grace Anatomy. I'm not talking about the drummer. Actually, it's the name of the tool. And why I mention it here is because it allows you to dynamically monitor during the runtime behavior of your web application, like method invocation. You want the parameters, you want the return object. If we want to see some like parameters, we normally will do that. What we will do? Add a log or message and restart your Tomcat and see what's happened. That's quite a lot of time. Tools like Matrix can do something for you, but you still need to write Java code. However, this tool can provide an interactive command line interface for you. You just type a command and hey, Grace, tell me what parameter of what the specific method. It will tell you if the application executes on that. So it's much easier than using Btrace. And we also have development tools for Eclipse. Tomcat. We also build a Tomcat Eclipse plugin, which is easier to use than the Eclipse WTP plugin, I guess. We have suffered a lot from configuration the Eclipse WTP plugin. So we build another Eclipse plugin that will, you don't need to package it into R. It will directly start a Tomcat based on your project. So other usages that are worth mentioning, unlike the Tomcat cluster, just the cage present, we don't use that because in our scenario, we have hundreds of millions of user sessions, and those sessions may not be fit into one Tomcat instance. And we also have thousands of instances per cluster. So actually, we have stored them into a dedicated key-value storage. And we use the connection pool a pool called Druid, which is also open source by Alibaba. And think why we choose this rather than Tomcat deep thread pool is about I think that will happen before we migration from JBoss to Tomcat. So that exists longer than Tomcat exists. So according to the wiki page, actually they provide a relatively competitive performance and as well as provide abundant monitoring. And you can also customize the, you can by implementing the filters inside the connection pools. So for another feature I want to address is the multi-tenancy. We actually build a multi-tenancy Tomcat on top of the, we actually have a multi-tenant JVM we developed in Alibaba, and provide to achieve high density deployment for legacy web applications, because the legacy web applications are not neither CPU intensive nor IO intensive. So if we still use one Tomcat for one web application, that's kind of waste. So we just put them together. And one more advantage is that they provide CPU and memory isolations based on the multi-tenant JVM. They can do, if one of the web applications runs out of memory, it will not affect other web applications. So that's how we use Tomcat, brief usage of Tomcat at Alibaba. And next up, we will introduce the high throughput web applications. In Alibaba is a very the e-commerce platform is a very large distributed system. For example, you have a shopping cart service, inventory service, order service, shipping service. But for mobile devices, we provide a API gateway to unify access. So this is called Taobao API gateway for mobile devices. Actually, this gateway interactive with hundreds of backend services and handling millions of requests per second at the Double 11 Shopping Festival in Alibaba. And it's a very crucial system for Alibaba, and all the API gateway actually is running Tomcat instead. The overall architecture of this, actually we have for PCs and mobile, we have a HTTP connection to the, we have a dedicated layer of actually the Nginx cluster who manages the connection and does the load balance. Does the load balance. And actually the HTTPS connection is terminated on this layer. And for the API gateway, and we actually put one single Nginx instance in front of Tomcat. Why do we do that? There are two main reasons. One is security. We build a security module on top of Nginx, plug in the Nginx module, and secondly, we do the rate limit on that Nginx because when there is a big promotion, you know, the e-commerce product, big promotion, there the load will get very high traffic. So Tomcat cannot bear that. So we actually built the rate limiting functionality in the engines side. So for the API gateway to interact with the backend service, we actually have HTTP and RPC in two ways. Next, I'll talk about the challenges these API gateways will face. Actually, talking about the changes, there are a lot of aspects. For example, configuration tuning, security, concurrency, and a lot of things. But I'm not going to talk about them one by one. My primary focus will be on this part. I will describe the connection section and the configuration tweaking and NIO connection and concurrency and security issues, and we'll go through some case studies. First, connect section. Actually, at first, this API gateway runs Tomcat use DIO connector and regular servlet and use RPC and HTTP to interact with backend service. The BIO connector, one of the drawback of the BIO connector is that it's actually using one working thread per request, so it cannot scale up to thousands of requests per second.
Question?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, why doesn't, I mean, nowadays, amount of threads VM is completely irrelevant. You can have 10,000 threads on every VM. So why it does, that doesn't scale?
Actually, we have done a load test. In this API gateway, actually the latency is not very low, you know, because you call the backend service and you get the response and response to the user client, right? And the latency may be long, but the throughput is very, very high. It's constantly high. So if you're using BIO, a worker thread will have to wait until you have the backend service will the thread will wait until the backend has response coming. At this time, Tomcat thread actually did nothing but wait, so it's kind of waste, right?
So is your backend, those backend services, are those asynchronous?
Yes, currently it's using synchronous, but I will talk about later why we is not fitting to asynchronous. At first, this is the first structure, architecture. So we'll talk about that. I will improve that in the later slides. So first we use the BIO here, right? And we found this issue, and also we have found that a CPU is not well utilized. So actually we tried to change Tomcat from BI to APR and change the servlet to async servlet and interact with the way to interact with backend service also changed to asynchronous. We use asynchronous RPC and asynchronous HTTP, all the asynchronous, but the question is that Tomcat, the API connector, we encounter some JVM crash during using the API connector, and because we lack of the experience of building API connector, because it's written in C++, and we lack of experience. So, and as well as there is a maintenance cost, we need to maintain our Tomcat native library. So we decide to change this API connector to NIO, so the architecture will be changed like this. Tomcat NIO is better than APR in terms of it's non-blocking on reading request headers, and in this structure, actually all the request processing get asynchronized, right? Now, I'll talk about the tweaking Tomcat first section. Actually, there are two primary rules. First, number one, do not change it if you encounter some issues. Do not change the default value, and please read the documents very carefully when changing that. And I will address four of them, especially in connectors, NIO connectors, when we are doing some tunings. First is the connection timeout. Connection timeout basically means that Tomcat has accept a request and the wait for the request header to come in, as well as reading request bodies. So the default value is 20 seconds. However, we suggest that you decrease that if you want to increase the throughput. If you want to increase the throughput, you don't have to wait so long time, but actually decrease to the number you want to decrease is actually very depend on your hardware. So you have to test and to decide which kind of actual value it will be. And next is max thread means the number of Tomcat can handle simultaneously, and the default is 200, and we actually increase that value to increase the throughput. And the third one is accept count means the request has finished client and server has finished a three-way TCP handshake and is waiting for Tomcat to accept. It's also known as backlog. And default value is 100. However, be very aware that there is another OS level configuration called ProxySnet calls SOMAX connection, and the effective value will be the minimum of the two. So if you want to increase that, you remember to check that value. And the processor cache is the protocol handler Tomcat will cache to speed up performance to avoid the GC overhead. If you actually the default value is 200, but if you use async service and NIO, it suggests that you're using the max thread, the maximum of max thread and the concurrent connection Tomcat will handle. So if you have a throughput of 1,000, increase the default value. Yeah. We also have access log disabled because we have put in Nginx in front of Tomcat, and the log access log will be there. And for 99%, this is okay. And if you have actually, there's some small percent of case you want to check whether these two access log are something goes wrong there. So at that time, you can enable it. So that will be okay by in terms of 99%. So next, the NIO connection and the concurrency issues. For before that, I would like to address how Tomcat internal architecture of that. Actually, Tomcat has used three threads: the acceptor thread, the polar thread, and the socket processor, which is a thread pool. It works like this. First, the request come in, and acceptors will accept a socket, and next, it will grab an NIO object from the cache in the right side from the cache, and then the acceptor will try to assign to the channel, NIO channel to one of the polars. There are two polars by default. Each have a internal selector instance. And the polar will assign the socket channel to one of the worker thread to process the thread. And after processing thread, it will give the NIO channel back to the cache. So there's actually we're turning on NIO channel in the production, we're actually facing some issues that we actually I'll classify them into the here. And there are basically two kinds of issues. Number one, the acceptor stops accepting new thread because of some reasons. Number one is the connection leakage. Tomcat has opened a connection but forgot to close that. Actually, it's a very earlier bug. I remember maybe cell 7026 or something like that. Actually, we encountered that problem, and Tomcat has already fixed, by the way. The next is connection count. Connection count leakage. Tomcat is actually closing the request, but the count has forgot to decrease that count by some reasons. We also kind of experience such kind of issues. And the third one is NIO channel cache pollution because of concurrency issues. This is very tricky, and I will introduce in the case study section. Second one is the NPE, non-partition exception during request processing. That is caused by send file, and I believe it's fixed in 7047 or later, something like that. So let's go through a real case study that caused us a lot of effort to find. Actually, these issues, Tomcat issues, has
we have experienced a very severe outage because of this issue, and we took a lot of effort to trying to find out what's going on there and how to fix that. The symptom is that we're using Tomcat 7 and NIO. Current throughput is over 1,000 requests per second, and we found in the logs that there's a concurrent modification exception there. And after a while, firstly it throws that exception, and after a while Tomcat stops accepting new thread. Whew, what's going on there? And by looking at the thread stack trace, actually Tomcat, the polar, one of the polar thread is processing timeout. Actually it's iterating through some selector keys, and apparently another thread is trying to modify in this iterator while this polar is doing the iteration, right? So there is a concurrent modification. But according to the source code, we cannot find any issues that might cause it. Because remember the picture that I showed before? A polar thread has its own selector instance. There are two polars and two selectors. But it's kind of getting no chance for the selector be modified by another thread because it's open to, it's private to this polar thread, right? So who is actually modifying the selection keys? The key, there is only one point that might change this keys. It's a JDK class called epoll selector impoll, which is by default the implementation of Linux. So we try their input register and their input direct. These two methods are the only way that can modify the selectors. So what we do is we add a message, debug message on the JDK class. We rebuild the jar and apply it to the JVM. So that we can log this message. But this issue is not reproducible. Why? It is because the concurrency, the time window is so small, and if we add something there, actually there misses the chance that these two threads may, the concurrent access to this is skipped. So we tried a lot to try to find out this. At the time we're about to give up, we finally reproduce it by minimizing the logging message we only want to output the thread name and the current selector instance. We actually reproduce these issues. From the log, we can observe that actually there are two polar is trying to modify the same selector instance. Is that a JVM bug? It's kind of unbelievable. So we switched the JDK to 1.7, but the issue is still remaining. And when we set polar thread from 2 to 1, the issue is gone. So that's not a JVM bug, obviously. So actually, where is the selection key being modified? We want to ask these questions. So we add a stack trace to the log debug message. We find out that there is the polar is running on the polar event dot run. What does this method doing? It's actually trying to register our NIO channel object to its selectors. So is there a possibility that the NIO channel is registered to the wrong selector? Maybe. But according to the architecture, we found that the polar and the selector is actually one-to-one mapping, and there's no chance that this method is changed during the runtime. It only initialized at the initialization time, right? So there's only one chance that this can be changed during the runtime. There's only one chance that socket.getPolar is changed. That infers that if we want, we call this method socket.getPolar, it's not equal to the current polar instance. So we add a check to verify that assumption, we add a check. If this is not equal, we just print out. Yes, it's actually different. We found out from the log message. So that means that a socket caller has been modified after being pushed in the event queue. So what we suspicious point is that first acceptor assigned a channel to here, and after putting here, it has been changed. It has been changed, but even though that there's an ML channel 0, and it should be part of the caller thread 0, but has been changed to caller thread 1. How can that happen? Because if you put the ML channel into that queue, it never chance to be modified by the caller thread 0. The only chance is that there is another thread who is also modifying that, because the caller thread 1 cannot access this. The only chance is that there's another duplicate ML channel object here, and actually caller 1 is modifying this object that reflects to here, right?
So we come to our assumption, suspicious point, that there are duplicate NL channel objects there. So why there are duplicate objects there? We're actually looking at the places that multiple threads can concurrently offer the NL channel to the cache. So we actually found out in a queue, every time we pull an NL object from the queue, right, and we check whether this object is still in another queue. So we found out actually there are still in that queue. So we confirm that they are duplicate objects. That's kind of unbelievable, right? Why there are duplicate entries? So we want to figure out there are any chance that multiple threads can access this. So we add another debug message. Finally, we found out that there are two threads. Number one, the pointer thread is doing timeout because the async server is timeouts. Number two is that we actually using async RPC. There is an async RPC callback thread which is actually doing some async complete, and these two threads access this method concurrently, and due to some issues, Tomcat fails to defend that. So let's recap what's going on there. First, the async server has a timeout from 4 to 15, and the async RPC has a timeout for 3 to 15 seconds. So it's a chance that Tomcat thread says, oh, this request is timeout. I should decline this request. But at the same time, there's another thread called async callback said that, oh, I finished to get the request, so I should respond with the right response, right? So these two thread access concurrently. So due to some deficiency of Tomcat, these two NIL channels has been offered into the cache. But it's very highly probable that these two objects has been offered consecutively. There's no other NL channels right in the middle of that because the time window is too short. So the same object has been assigned to different polar thread, and polar thread 0 is doing timeout, and polar thread 1 is doing actually is doing register keys to that NL channel. So that's kind of weird to get something wrong there. And but here polar thread 0 throws concurrent modification exception, right? And because Tomcat does not catch that exception, so the polar thread died. But the acceptor thread
which is there, that did not know that PostgreSQL 0 has died, and it kept assigning NL channels to that. However, PostgreSQL 1, you know, that is working very, very normally, and is still consuming requests, but PostgreSQL 0 is already died. So the connection limit, Tomcat has a configuration called the backst connection. It will keep counting up and until it reaches the limit called, by default is 10,000. So acceptor thread will stop accepting new thread, right? So that's kind of the whole process. So the solution is that Tomcat has already has a similar issue in 7058, but it's not complete. In our scenario, we also find another chance that maybe cause this issue, and we have proposed to propose the patch to this fixing this issue, and luckily from the 7064. This issue has gone. It has been completely fixed. So,
why is the count for the poll threads 2? Shouldn't it be closer to the number of cores?
What?
To the number of poll threads. Why is it only 2?
Only 2. Because if you increase the number of poll thread, maybe I remember that a documentation said that it should be not over the if you should not over 2, but why is that should be?
I'm thinking it should be closer to the number of cores.
Yeah.
Because they can handle concurrently.
Yeah. You should, at least if you have multi cores, you definitely you don't want to not be one, right? So you need to have multiple polar thread, right, Chris?
Yeah, the justification for it's just a recommendation, no more than 2, and it's only because after 2, adding more polar threads doesn't seem to improve anything. So you just have more resource usage with no benefit.
Okay.
So definitely test in your environment to see if it improves things. But the general consensus has been that they don't really get.
Maybe it's related to the processing model on top as well, because that's using more threads and it's doing processing.
It could, but generally switching from BIO to NIO doesn't really multiply the number of threads you're using, you just add 3.
Yeah. Okay. Next up, talk about the security issue that we face. And in our production environment, we have by default disabled the manager and the host manager because we do not need that and we also disable the JMX remote access. One thing I want to mention is that if you have a reverse proxy from Tomcat, somewhat it will protect Tomcat from being attacked by several kind of issues. For example, if you have a slow HTTP body attack, if you have Nginx in front of Tomcat, actually Nginx will collect the entire HTTP body and before handing that to Tomcat. So if the body is very slow, so Tomcat won't be affected. Next, I'll talk about a special case to the high throughput web application, that is memory-based memory exhaustion that we actually experienced in our scenarios. The symptom is that actually we are experiencing some full garbage collection in a production environment. After we dump the heap and analyze it, we found that Tomcat's message byte object has 30 million instances, and it takes up to 2 gigabyte memory, which cannot be garbage connect. So our question is that who is holding the reference? Normally, from here we can see that normally, actually, there are two K requests, some 2K in the memory, and normally one request has only a few message byte object, but there are 2K requests where there are 30 million message bytes. So we found out that actually our request has over 2K server cookies object there in our heap dump. Normally, a request cannot be so much number of cookies, why there is 2K server cookies. Dynamically, when we check the source code, we found that Tomcat actually has a server cookies, maintains the array of server cookies. When the number of cookies has exceeded the limit, they will dynamically double the size. And the problem is that it never gets shrinked after recycling. So if the cookie screen is very small enough, it can produce a large number of server cookie objects. One problem is that the Tomcat's max header count cannot defend that because the cookie is considered only one of the headers. And Tomcat has also a configuration called the max HTTP header, which is by default 8K, and it can limit the number of cookies. But according to the specification, RFC 2625, it does not require cookie name and value to be non-empty. So if a malicious program that sends a deliberate cookie like this, A equals B, semicolon, A equals B, semicolon. So in Tomcat, it costs 4 bytes per these cookies, and if you have 8K max HTTP header, it will eventually produce 2K server cookie object. So if extreme case is like this, if you have equals semicolon, you eventually will produce 4K cookie object. And we have concurrently 2K requests. Actually, there will be 8 million cookies. So this kind of consuming this large amount of memory, maybe we should be garbage collected. So the proposal is that we add a max cookie count header, max cookie count parameter in the connector to limit the max number of cookies allowed. Normally, a browser will not send such amount of cookies, but if you have a malicious client, that would be the case. So it has been also fixed in such kind of versions. Finally, summarize, if you want to improve the web application throughput, you can asynchronize your application in terms of Tomcat connector, web application logic servlet, async servlet, async RPC, async HTTP, and NIO is proven to be stable after we experienced a lot and have used for a very long time for high production use. But be aware that if you want to switch from BIO to NIO, remember to check the versions for known issues. And troubleshooting concurrency issues can be very tricky, just as I said before, introduced before. And a good tool is very helpful. Unfortunately, I have not met that tool called Grace I mentioned before when I was troubleshooting this issue. So next time, I will definitely choose that issue. And if you have any interest, you can go to the website and there's a documentation there. And actually, you can definitely try that tool. It's very convenient. So I think that's all for that. And I'll be happy to take any questions.
You mentioned previously that you have multi-tenancy GVM.
Yeah.
So like own Alibaba GVM?
Right now, yes. This only for internal use and not, I don't think there's any plan.
And is this done for isolation?
You can provide CPU isolation, memory isolation, yeah.
And why don't you use containers, like Docker or something?
Yeah, actually we are using containers, but for such kind of special case, we actually using, we want to achieve high density, right? Because if using containers, you have multiple JVM in multiple containers.
Yeah.
But if we want to achieve extremely high density, one JVM, one Tomcat, multiple web applications. We only do that for this case. Yeah.
So how many applications do you have in one JVM?
Right now?
Yeah.
Maybe not very much, maybe 10 or something like that. Not right now, not very much. Yeah. It's depend on your hardware actually. You can provide. Yeah.
There was a slide which talked about the API gateway calling the multiple services.
Yeah.
The shopping cart, right?
Yeah.
There are some use cases where maybe during the checkout you calculated taxes or the shipping fee and everything, right? So before you display all the information, you have to call the multiple APIs to collect the information.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So. How do you do the orchestration of all those APIs? Do you do it in the gateway, or you do it have it in another API which actually calls the multiple API?
It's actually in your for example, you have other service which might call other backend service and it will aggregate the result and yeah.
Okay. So there will still be a single API which will call and collect. It
could
not be in the API gateway.
No, not in the API gateway, right. Yes?
So, you mentioned the tweaking the top 10 parameters, of 10 parameters, it's based on the configuration right, that you're using. So, as per the configuration, those numbers would vary, right? The connection timeout and max threads, etc. And you seem to be having 10,000 or, you know, like thousands of instances of Tomcat. So how do you manage tweaking those parameters in such a large number?
Actually, you can first done in some testing environment, and if you have figured out the right parameter you choose, and you can modify actually. There is a global place, for example, if every application has its application specific configuration, you can modify that. And if we have a deployment platform, so that you can deploy all the configuration across the cluster.
Oh, so the configurations are similar then?
Yeah, similar. Oh. Yeah, they're similar.
And where's the platform that you're using? Do you have Windows instances too, or is it
no,
Linux?
Linux.
I have a question for you. You mentioned in one of your earlier slides that you have issues with locking, so you did some kind of lock rotation for Tomcat. I know we had similar problems, so we ended up switching the logger from the default to the Java update logger, which uses a different logger configuration instead of the default. I'm just wondering what you guys did.
For what? Log?
Yeah, like I think you started with your Catalina.io system rotation.
Yeah, this is because most of the cases that the logging framework conflicts, if a web application have multiple dependencies, one is using, for example, log4j, and another is using logback, and actually they're conflict, and the default implementation is that these logs will be output to standard out. So if you don't rotate Tomcat STD out, it might be that this will go constantly larger and will finally take up all your disk space, right? So actually we have customized Tomcat. We replace the output stream. By default it's system.out, right? We customize or we create a new stream, print stream, and which will eventually call the Tomcat, the logging infrastructure, so that you capture the log to SD out and redirect it to the to using the Tomcat Julie framework to actually do that rotation.
Okay, yeah, we use the update logger. It allows you to specify what size you want the log to be. And once it's like every, you can store up to 7 backup logs, and then after you hit 7, it automatically rotates.
Yeah.
And you lose that history. I don't know if y'all did something similar.
We only keep maybe last 20 or something, 20 days.
Okay.
It rotates by days, right? So the previous log has been cleared. Yeah.
You disable the access log valve as well. So did it result in some kind of performance improvement, like disabling that valve?
Not really, because we just think by most case there are duplicate. So if you actually, we have every Tomcat in front. We have a Nginx instance in from Tomcat on every single node, right? So actually, they are duplicate. Hi.
I have a question. We have a couple of sites in Europe, and when we have Chinese users, we have a lot of problems with connection issues because of the firewall in between and very long connections. So do you have something similar in when you're hosting a service in China with European users, that the connections are like really, really slow and hanging in closed wait status for minutes, and how do you handle it?
We actually set up a data center in Europe.
Ah.
I think it's in Russia. Yeah. Okay, that's all for today. Thank you very much.